find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, my goodness, is a top performing business owner here at Lime Painting. I'm excited for a Perseverance Series episode here with Matt Foose. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick, for having me. I appreciate the invite. And I've seen some of these Level Up episodes of yours, and so it's an honor to be on one.
Let's do this. Absolutely. And I've seen so many of your amazing transformations that you've done on so many homes over the years, Matt. So I was equally excited to have you on the show. So, one question that I've had that I'm curious about, I know it's a challenging question here, Matt. What is your favorite value at Lime and why?
The one that I just kind of gravitate towards is excellence. And I just feel like it, whether it's at Lime or, you know, with a interior paint job that's two bedrooms or a full exterior paint job on a $3.5 million home, it's just trying to deliver excellence for the homeowner, the quality, you know, the experience, the communication, just all the aspects that go into logistically planning and executing a paint project. But, you take that value and, you know, instill it in other parts of your life. And I think that striving for excellence is just something that I do, whether I'm, you know, pulling the weeds or, you know, doing whatever other task it is, it's just doing the best that you can do. And I think if you kind of approach your day that way, that you should end up being pretty successful.
Matt, tell us about your journey here at Lime. How do you become a top performing franchise partner across multiple states that customers love?
I honestly just think following the values of Lime, the love, integrity, mission, excellence, right? We spoke on the excellence part, but I think just hard work and following a model that was successful for you, Nick, and branched out into being successful for my brother. And then, you know, for me, just basically following that model, trusting in the process, trusting in the products that we're quoting, but then also just executing it and just putting it in place. So as an account manager, I think it's a little bit easier because your tasks are, you know, they're the same as an owner, but with an ownership, you have to build a team and train and hire. But I feel like following the Lime way, as we say, and just putting, I guess, the client first, which is important in many businesses, but just, you know, making sure that you are delivering the promises that you made, and also being honest, right? Like just having that integrity when a homeowner is at, you're evaluating their home. If something looks good, hey, this looks really sharp. I don't think we need to address anything here. And I think homeowners, you know, appreciate and respect the fact that you're, you know, not trying to upsell something that they probably have a sense that they don't really need, but pointing out things that do, and maybe things that they weren't aware of. And I think living by those values, the Lime values, and working hard and just trying to deliver quality to homeowners is an easy way to grow and to expand for me, an account manager and ownership. It wasn't that hard from a, you know, I already kind of knew what to do to sell and be successful there. And then just kind of learning how to grow a team, you know, I slowly hired as I became an owner. And hired my first employee about 8 months in to ownership. And then, you know, going into year two, I had three, and going into year three, I had five. And so just growing at the right pace, I think, is important. And then just, you know, as you mentioned, going into multiple states, I'm pretty new into that right now, 4 months completed in Salt Lake City. And, you know, it's going pretty well. I think I'm a little behind where I would love to be, but it's a process. And I think it's, you know, just believing in, you know, teaching people to follow the model and just do the same things that made me successful, and leading by example. You had mentioned that. But just working hard and leading by example, and hiring the right people. And I think everything else comes into place.
Right.
I don't know if I answered that question well, but that was my answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit it right on the head, right? It comes down to fulfilling your promises. It's not rocket science. And personally, I've observed that from you, and that's something that I can relate to. It's a part of what I fell in love with in the business. And there's something powerful about doing what you say you're going to do, showing up on time, answering your phone. Those are differentiators in our business. And it feels good to serve clients and make a difference. And you can really get momentum with delivering happiness with our clients. And I know that's something that you're great at. I know that's something that you also share a love for as well. But I'm sure everything is not rainbows and butterflies per se. You own across multiple states. You know, what are some things that you would like to share that you might not hear on LinkedIn per se about owning multiple states that sounds challenging?
Well, I think I touched on it. I think it's people, right? It's just finding the right people. I think that goes for any business. When I'm meeting potential owners of Lime and they want to pick my brain on Lime and they ask me about this very question, that's usually my answer. I think, you know, the model is proven to work. And I tell people, if you follow it and work hard, you'll be successful. But when you want to scale, if you're not going to be an owner operator and run the business just by yourself or with a family member, you have to put your trust in people. And then, you know, expecting, I guess, an employee to have the same level of care that you do as an owner and not losing that quality is a challenge. So I think really vetting out your potential employee candidates is something that's, you know, I think for me, the biggest challenge. I think having the appropriate expectations and understanding that, you know, most of these people probably aren't going to care at the level that you do about your own business because it's yours and not theirs. But you can find good people. And I think it's just about, for me, it's about hiring character and not resume. And it's about, you can train almost anybody, I think, to do this job. But if you hire people that care about values, care about, have the integrity, have the excellence, or, you know, they're determined to be great. If they have those characteristics, then those are the people that I think we want. I can train anybody to follow the model. So I think these are the only businesses I own, but I'm sure if you talk to most business owners, it's hiring the right people and then just putting your trust in those people and delegating. Delegating can be hard too at first. It's hard to take your hands off of it sometimes and step away and just see what happens.
What have those growing pains taught you about scaling and not sacrificing quality?
I think when you scale, there may be a little bit of quality sacrificed. I think it's about setting the appropriate expectations. But I feel like overall quality, again, it comes back to the people that you hire. If they care about, like, if they have integrity and you know, just their own work ethic and how they're perceived as an employee and how their customers perceive them. And if they have integrity and they care about that, then I think quality shouldn't lack. So again, it kind of comes back full circle back to the person that you're hiring, I think is, you know, how you go about not losing quality.
Right. And how do you maintain that trust when expectations are sky high?
I just believe in the training, right? You have to train people, you know, you have to set clear expectations and then you have to train them on how to achieve it. And you know, if you set, I think it's just like the paint crew you had mentioned before, you know, setting a level of expectation with your crew on how to keep the quality good with, you know, onboarding crews. I have to onboard crews. I work with about 12 in Southern Colorado, and I have 3 right now that I'm using in Salt Lake. And, you know, you have to onboard them, and then you have to, you know, set the expectation. And the nice thing that you mentioned, pain is not rocket science, right? And it's kind of hard to mess things up badly. So it's usually just the little things that you got to prepare people for. It's setting the right expectation with really job site cleanliness. Like you mentioned it, punctuality, showing up when we say we're going to show up, and really just taking care of like homeowners' property and landscaping and little things that don't really have a lot to do with paint. Sometimes it's like you got to actually set the expectation on a lot of things that painters aren't necessarily thinking about. They're thinking about doing the best job they can painting. But you got to kind of get them to focus on some of the more customer, like what is the customer going to see, right? So looking at things through the customer's eyes is kind of something that I try to train not only, you know, our subs, but our employees too.
What are some communication tips that you have? I feel like as you're talking, something that you probably don't even realize is just your gift for collaborating and communicating and leading. What tips do you have for communicating?
I'm kind of a quiet person, so I do feel like I lead by example a lot. I try to lead just by, you know, a strong work ethic, but I think communication is important. I mean, I think rewarding your team, like positive communication, constructive criticism, all those things are important. I know I need it sometimes. I ask homeowners, hey, like, I'd really like to know if you'd give us a 5-star review. And if you think we fall short of that, I really want to know why. Like, where did I miss? Did I miss something on communication? Were we a little too messy on the job site? Whatever the case may be. I think, you know, it is important to have open line of communication, letting your team know that you're there for them and that, you know, if they're struggling with anything to reach out, like, but I also, you know, I do believe in that people need to kind of, you know, take upon themselves a little responsibility. I can't teach everybody everything. And my brother gave me a set of, you know, things to do that you had shown him. And like once you're kind of taught those things, you just have to go out and do it. So I think you can over communicate sometimes, right? You can, what they say, a paralysis by analysis. Sometimes you can complicate things by over communicating. So I think there's a fine line, but again, I think it's like setting expectations, you know, just coaching your team to be excellent, right? Like just coaching people to be better, rewarding them when they're good. And, you know, giving them a little bit of, you know, kick in the rear end if you need to try to motivate them a little bit. So I think there can be a fine line on how to communicate with people. And everyone has a little bit of a different style, too. So you got to kind of be able to perceive, you know, how individuals like to be coached.
Absolutely. And how customers like to be served and how you go about conveying that to the team so that the customer is receiving the expectations that you set. And so much of what you're sharing is a demonstration of teamwork and collaboration, yeah. But most importantly, leading by example and setting the standard by what you do and how you show up, how you serve. your commitment to the industry and the customers that you serve. So Matt, you have been in a family business now for multiple years. You've worked with your mom, your brother, obviously your wife. Talk about a special combination of folks and just a moment in your life. Not everybody gets to do that. That is exciting, but it's also, I'm sure, challenging. What lessons have you learned from running a family business?
That's a good question. That's something I've really put a lot of thought into. I mean, of course, it's cool working with family, but then again, there's also got to be, I think, some boundaries sort of set, so to speak. I mean, obviously, you mix family and financials, and things can get challenging. But at the same time, it's really rewarding to see my brother's businesses grow and him, you know, grow into multi-states. And, you know, I know our mom was involved for a while, you know, assisting him with his business. And when I was there, you know, all three of us were together. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, of course, it's cool to see your family be successful and what they're doing. And, but I think it's also like, you know, it's like one of those things where you got to be a little careful mixing too much business with you know, family members, because, you know, when you're dealing with money and things that, you know, can ruin relationships. Right. So I think it's, just supporting one another. We understand what each other's going through as owners now. And we can rely on each other for advice or just like a shoulder to lean on or talk to. But I think it's been a cool process. I think from the moment I joined my brother as an account manager and, to now, I mean, it's cool to see the growth and just like I said, to be able to share experiences and understand where we're coming from and we do need to talk about issues or successes or whatever the case may be.
It's certainly inspiring because a lot of folks want to be in business for themselves, be in a family business specifically, but it can have its challenges, of course, but it is far more rewarding, and that's ultimately why folks do it. And that's what I've been able to witness amongst your family. I remember Tyler's, your brother, his excitement for you joining his company before you joined. And frankly, I remember us talking about it even a year or two before. I think an opportunity had come and gone and there was some consideration, and seeing that excitement in your brother multiple times and then it actually coming into fruition and, you know, you really gaining momentum working with your brother and, you know, the collaboration that went into, you know, him having the honor of sharing a skill set with you. And I'm sure from your mom's perspective, she's probably pinching herself being able to witness that and be a part of it. I know I certainly am. And your significant others and so many folks are impacted by your commitment and hard work to serving our customers. So thank you for that. And yeah, it can be challenging most certainly, but it is rewarding as well. And you guys have inspired myself, and I know so many people here at Lime. So thank you for your leadership, not only within your businesses and your territories that you run, but just by doing that, you're setting an incredible example. And you're somebody that doesn't talk a lot, Matt, but thank you for your actions and how they show up as you being a leader. It impacts so many people, whether you're aware of it or not. So thank you.
Yeah, sure. No, you're welcome. I mean, I just try to do the best I can, and if that, rubs off on other people, that's awesome.
Right. Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you, Matt, changing subjects. You've done all these projects. I'm sure there's one that you'll never forget, the one that tested you and reminded you why this work matters.
Well, I mean, there's been a few. It's hard for me to single out one specific project, but there was we worked on a historic home. It was my first year. It was actually fall of 22, and I had knocked on this door in March with my wife Camilla, and spoke to a lady through a doorbell, and she was in Florida. And she was like, "Oh, hey, like I know I need to get some of this work done. You should come back this summer." And of course, you get busy, and I didn't. She was it was this was around March, and she was like, "I'll be back in like May, early June. Come back, say hi. Maybe you can give us an estimate." Well, I should have. This is a very unique home. It's a historic home in downtown Colorado Springs, in a neighborhood called the Old North End. Is a 19, I think 1915 or 1908, 1912, something like that, English Tudor home. It's 12,000 square feet, and it was in bad shape. I mean, a lot of the wood was rotted, and windows had holes in the frames, and I mean, it was in bad shape, but it was such a beautiful home. And like sometimes when we're doing what we do, Nick, I'm sure you see certain homes, you drive by a certain property, you're like, man, like I need to go say hello and introduce myself. So that was one of those ones where like I would love to be a part of, helping the client restore the property. Shame on me for not going back. Well, anyway, it was like early August, and I was back in that neighborhood painting a home, and I was like, I was actually there was an owner. And forgive me, I don't remember, but there was an owner in Colorado who wanted to spend a day with me. I don't remember who it was or if they became an owner of Lime, but they wanted to spend a day with me, and they were with me. I drove them around. I'm like, hey, let's go back and say hi to this house I knocked on. They told me to come back, so I went back, and the lady that I spoke to through the doorbell opened the door and was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, I remember you." And she was like, "We got a couple quotes already. We're getting ready to do the work. You want to give me a quote?" And I said, "I'd love to." I ended up scheduling with her a couple of days later and gave her a quote, and she ended up choosing Lime. And this project had a ton of carpentry. There was a lot of things that I had to logistically figure out. It was my first year in business, and I had some capable carpenters, but I wasn't quite, I mean, I had seen my guys do some work, but this was kind of another level. And so you had to trust, that these guys could get it done, or you could figure it out. There was just a lot of detail. They had high expectations. I know we've talked about that. Most homeowners have really high expectations, and they had other bids, and they were actually getting ready to move forward until I said hello with someone else, probably. So that job kind of stood out. I had to meet with them. I went back. They invited me back for about an hour with a whole list of questions. And even I had a professional video shot, and even in there, the homeowner talked about, just how they felt comfortable and confident going with Lime through the products we recommended and the process and our ability to repair their stucco in addition to the wood. And I think he mentioned like they kind of trusted what I was saying and why I was saying it and how I said we would approach the project. And but then you have to deliver on that. And Camilla, my wife, helps me with a lot of production so that I can, spend a little bit more of my time selling and doing what I do best. And I think she's a little bit better as a production coordinator than I am because she has high expectations, and she holds the painters accountable, and she shows up every day. And when the painters see her, like they mind their P's and Q's. So, I mean, it was just a cool project. I think it stood out for many reasons, but it was just a cool restoration and a beautiful home, a historic property. And it was a lead that I got through a doorbell originally, and just kind of but it was a challenging job. I mean, the home has tons of windows, and within those windows there's the wood muntins on all of them on the exterior of the glass that we had to paint and mask and do all those. So I mean, it was very tedious, and the homeowners definitely had high expectations. But I, we did a good job. We got it done in time. We got it done ahead of schedule, actually, where I thought we'd have it, and homeowners were happy. We had a little issue that popped up from a warranty standpoint the following spring, but went out and took care of it right away for them. And, but the homeowner was super happy, has recommended us throughout the neighborhood. So that was one. It didn't really have a ton of problems or super hard challenges that maybe some other projects have had, but it was definitely difficult and trusting kind of, you know, what we do, at Lime, and trusting your artisans and the people that you, onboard to do work for you, and they get referred to you. And for the first time you're putting them on something like that, you know, you just have to trust, you have to trust the process. And hey, if something goes wrong, you shift and you problem solve and you do something else and you figure it out. So, that's part of being a business owner, but that was definitely one of a cool project. One of the first ones as an owner, where, you know, it's like, man, can I really get this done for this homeowner? Like, you know, you doubt yourself a little bit. But no, it turned out great. And, you know, it's, again, it's kind of, you got to put your trust in others. Sometimes you can't do everything yourself. So.
What a massive house. You said 12,000 square feet.
Yeah. It's a 12,000 square foot, you know, 110, 115 year old home that was in need of a lot of work. And so, yeah, it was just one of those, when I first saw it, I was like walking around the street and I was just like, hey, Camilla, look at this house. Like, this is in bad shape. We got to get this. This house needs to get limed.
Right.
And you know, there's a few of those you come across every year where you're just like, man, I hope I can get in front of this homeowner, cause I know what I can deliver. And I, you know, I don't know if they'll trust me the moment I ring their doorbell, but hopefully in those first 30 seconds to 60 seconds, I can get them to trust me a little bit. And then in the presentation, you know, that's when you really can build their trust. So, you know, but those moments are cool. And those are things that are exciting, and, you know, restoring people's homes and helping them, as we say, fall in love with their house again is one of the coolest aspects of the job. So, you know, when you turn someone's vision into reality, or they, you know, whether they're transforming it by color or just restoring it, through damage and deterioration, like helping them like see that, from, you know, just an idea to a final product is I think my favorite part about the job. So, and the career or business ownership, but you can do that as an account manager and you can do that as an owner. That's the cool thing about it too, is, you know, we give every owner is a little different, but we give a lot of freedom to our employees to, you know, they're kind of their own little mini business owners, in a sense. And so, to help homeowners do the same thing. So it's pretty cool part to be a part of those process.
Right. And to look at the house and see, did it have lead, by the way?
They hired another company to kind of come in and do a couple of things before we started. And so they were the ones that took care of most of that. So I helped, we did some of the carpentry, like we kind of split some of the carpentry work. They came in and did all the windows, cause like the pieces that actually the windows that had holes, but they were actually the ones that got hired to do about half of the carpentry work. And then, the lead stuff. So I didn't, it did have lead present, but I didn't have to, do all the prevention steps, which
right
is nice.
Yeah, yeah, house that old, right? It's almost guaranteed to have lead and yeah, plenty of carpentry work, water damage, and a 12,000 square foot home certainly stands out.
Well, and they have a lot of brick and a lot of stucco, so it wasn't like, you know, all siding, and I'm sure a lot of the wood had been replaced. I don't think they were dealing with, I mean, some other homes that I've dealt with myself that are not nearly the scale, you know, 2,000 square feet, have had way more lead to deal with. So that one didn't have, I don't think, as much as, you know, some others do in those neighborhoods. So, but yeah, I mean, lead prevention is definitely one of those things we do too that sets Lime apart. There's a lot of little things, I think, that, you know, that you, I guess, put into the business at the beginning to differentiate ourselves from other paint companies. And I think just being able to offer all those different things that we can. And whether you can at the moment or you figure it out a way to help them and do it, like that's part of being a business owner too. It's like, hey, like sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. So, you know, if I don't know like a great flooring guy, I'll find one, you know, or if that's part of the deal and you want me to help you refinish your floors, or I know we have owners like in RL out in Oklahoma City. It's like, you take on other things sometimes, and you figure it out, you know, if you, care enough, and you'll do the research and find the right people, and you know, introduce homeowners to the right people, and help them get other things done as well. Whether I can actually contract it or not, I do that a lot, where I might introduce a homeowner to somebody, and I'm not really looking to get anything out of it other than, you know, maybe if that project goes well, they'll hire me for mine. So, sorry, that was a little tangent there, but yeah,
so spot on though, right? An old historic home like that, you know, of that magnitude, it isn't as simple as painting it. Right. It's important to have all of the skill sets that are required for that custom home, which is far beyond just wood. There's stucco and brick. And when you look at all of the services that can be done on a luxury estate, it's important to have vendor referrals and folks in the industry that when you can, and it makes sense, you know, you can make those recommendations. So thanks for helping clarify there. When you talked about standing across from it, I was literally sharing the enthusiasm for all the different ways that we help folks. And just the fact that she remembered you as you came back, that happens so often where we work with the client and we're there for sometimes the whole summer, right? Working with neighbors, and these are pretty extravagant projects, and there's a lot going on. They take weeks because, you know, it's a 12,000 square foot home. So yeah, thank you for sharing. I figured you'd have some great examples, but you know, you obviously lead by example. What's one thing your team sees you do, even on your hardest days, that keeps them leveling up?
Well, we're talking about like perseverance. I feel like I just work hard. We may have a down month and an up month, and I feel like that's one of my strengths, is I'm pretty even keeled, mild mannered person. I don't get too high nor too low. Sometimes maybe I could show a little bit more enthusiasm or excitement, you know, but I think it also helps me not get overly stressed and like just take a deep breath. If there's an issue on a job, we'll solve it. Don't worry about it. Like, I think it's kind of, you know, helps me and hurts me a little bit. Sometimes I could probably be a little bit more like, hey, that's awesome, and be a little more excited for people. But I just feel like I stay very even. I lead the same. I don't really change too much. I don't think I'm very emotional. I'm not, you know, I'm there for my people. I work really hard. So if somebody calls me at 7 p.m. because they're trying to build a proposal, like I usually answer. It's probably not always the best thing for my family, but you know, I think balancing a little bit of that work and family stuff can be a challenge as a business owner, especially as you expand in multiple states. But I think just being there for your team and being strong, you know, just being, you know, a strong leader and letting people see you not freak out or overreact to an issue, or whether it be a little problem you accidentally, you know, it's construction, you know, get up a scratched or broken window on someone's house or something, it's okay. Like, we'll fix it. Just reassure the homeowner that we'll take care of it. Like, we're sorry. It was an accident. We obviously didn't do it on purpose. You know, it's just kind of, you know, I think just being there for your team and showing them how to react when things happen, and and just letting them know that it'll be all right. You know, we'll get through it.
Yeah. An example of stability and calm in the midst of what can be a little chaotic during production. That's one thing you don't necessarily hear going into the paint space or getting a paint job done. It's far more exciting to think about the transformation and what the end result will do, but it is a process getting there. And we are talking about production. It's unscripted, and having a calm in the midst of that, whether it's for the client or your team. Thank you for that answer. And I would have probably guessed something similar. You know, I know along those lines, but how would you speak to perseverance? What does it mean to you?
I mean, I think it's, pretty much the definition, right? It's just pushing just as hard, if not harder, when things are hard. You know, it's like, again, I think for me and my personality, being even killed helps me persevere, because there are times of stress being a business owner, for sure. There's definitely times of stress during production when a homeowner's frantic. But I just think it's important, you know, striving for that excellence that I strive for, that you have to just persevere through challenges, through, you know, issues like a slump, you might, you know, a bad economy, COVID, the things that we talk about going back when I started in, you know, 2020 with COVID. I mean, I was knocking on people's doors in 2020 when I started with Lime with a mask on my face. Like, you know, it's knocking on a door, standing 6 foot back with my mask that I bought that had Limes on it. You just keep fighting, right? Like, you, that's what it is. I mean, that's a really long answer for something that could have been shorter, but yeah, it's pushing through when times are tough, I think, is the easy answer.
Pushing through when times are tough and doing it as a calm in the midst of whatever's going on. You heard it from Matt Foose himself, the owner of Lime Painting of Southern Colorado, Salt Lake City, and Sarasota. This is a top empire builder, certainly an industry leader in the paint space. Matt, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for doing such a great job of serving clients across all the communities that you serve. And thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, and thank you for being on the show.
I appreciate the invite, and thank you for building a business that's scalable and easy to follow. And I appreciate all the hard work and everything you put into Lime. And I don't think I would be here if I didn't believe in the model and the values and the things that you have instilled and in the company from the inception. So appreciate you, Nick. Thank you.
Love it. Love it. And that is a franchise partnership in motion. If you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe down below. It's how we're able to continue to grow and bring thought leaders, high performance experts and entrepreneurs like Matt onto the show. Drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Get limed.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.